A person of genuine faith will demonstrate it. In other words, your faith will be evident in the way you live. You're not going to live a sinless life, but you can live a life of faith and trust in God. In Romans chapter 4, Abraham is presented as a wonderful example of that kind of faith. Abraham was known as a friend of God. Would you like that to be said of you as well? This lesson is called Becoming a Friend of God.
Every once in a while, a listener will send me a note and attach a funny story to it. By the way, I love to hear from you, so keep it coming. I thought you might like to hear this one I received some time ago. A couple was celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary and, at the same time, their 60th birthdays. So they drove over for a weekend at the beach to celebrate this special year, and as they strolled along the beach, all of a sudden, a good fairy appeared before them and said to the woman, "In honor of your 30-year anniversary, I will grant you one wish." Well, she thought a moment and then said, "Well, I wish I could travel around the world and see all the wonderful sights." Well, poof, went the fairy's wand, and the woman was whisked away on her worldwide travels. The good fairy turned to the man and said, "Well, it's also your 60th birthday, so I'll give you one wish as well." And he said, "Well, to be honest, I'd like to have a wife 30 years younger than me." Well, she frowned at him and then said, "Very well." She waved her wand and the man turned 90. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's what he deserved. And the moral of the story, be careful what you wish for. Now, if the average Jewish person of Paul's day had one wish, many of them would wish to be more like Abraham, the founder of their nation. And that's because they thought Father Abraham was inherently righteous. Well, they were wishing for the wrong thing. Well, today we set sail into Romans chapter 4, and Paul is going to address that wish. And it begins with a question here in verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? Now, what Paul is going to do here is use Abraham as the key Old Testament illustration of justification by faith. But why Abraham? I mean, weren't there other men of faith, great faith, in the Old Testament? Well, of course there were. But I believe there are at least five reasons the Spirit of God is leading Paul to use Abraham as a living illustration of being justified by faith. First, Abraham lived 2,000 years before Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. So Paul is effectively countering the claim that he's teaching something new. This was actually the redemptive plan of God, and it's thousands of years old. The second reason Paul uses Abraham is because Abraham was the forefather of God's chosen people. From Abraham descended the Hebrew people. So what's true about Abraham's relationship with God should be true of all of his descendants, the Jewish people, to this day. I believe the third reason Abraham is the perfect example of how to be saved is that he was known as God's friend. Three times in Scripture, in 2 Chronicles, in Isaiah, and then over in the book of James, Abraham is called the friend of God. You know, I couldn't help but think we get all caught up today about who our friends are. Somebody's got a famous friend, and we think how special, well, that must be. Imagine being known as the friend of God. By the way, in John 15, verse 14, Jesus says that all who follow him are his friends. Well, since the Jewish people are looking to Abraham as their example of how to find friendship with God, they need to understand how Abraham became God's friend. Now, the fourth reason I believe Paul chose Abraham as an illustration is because Abraham was revered by the Jewish nation as the model of faith. So if Paul can show that Abraham was not justified by keeping the law, then clearly nobody can be justified by keeping the law. And finally, the fifth reason I believe Abraham is used as an example of justification by faith is because Abraham was believed to be a man possessing righteousness. In fact, by the time of Paul, the Jewish people believed that Abraham became God's friend because, well, he deserved to be God's friend. He was a righteous man already. You know, I think there are a lot of Christians today who think God loves them only if they keep the rules and don't mess things up, if you don't skip a day of devotions, and if you regularly attend church. Well, God will love you then. You can be his friend, but only if you're already faithful. Well, the Jewish people thought that way about Abraham. They were taught that Abraham was the father of God's chosen people because he deserved to be. And their wish was that they could be just like him. So follow this thinking. What Paul is doing here is focusing on the most likely person on the planet to deserve salvation, to be worthy of being God's friend, and that was Abraham. Well, instead, Paul writes here now, beginning in verse 2, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." By the way, beloved, there's a phrase that I just read that should crush every false religion out there and every speculation. It's right here in the middle of verse 3. Let me read it again. "For what does the Scripture say?" You know, the truth of God's plan of salvation comes down to this. What does the Bible say? How do you become the friend of God? Well, what does the Bible say? How are your sins forgiven? What does the Bible say? Is God going to love you only if you keep the rules? Well, what does the Bible say? How are your sins forgiven? What does the Bible say? Is God going to love you only because you're worth it? You deserve it? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, let me tell you, the farther you get from what the Bible says, the more vulnerable you become to that roaring lion, the devil, who roams around seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8, you could render that to discourage or discredit. Well, what does the Bible say about Abraham? Well, for one, Paul says again here in verse 2 that he has no reason for boasting. In other words, if Abraham was justified by his works, which is impossible, it would give him the right to brag. But even Abraham, Paul says, cannot boast before God. Well, now here in the last part of verse 3, Paul says that Abraham's righteousness was not earned at all by his efforts. In fact, Paul quotes here from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 when he says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Beloved, this is how God justifies the sinner. He switches the accounts in his divine ledger. He credits the bankrupt account of a sinner with the righteous account of Jesus Christ. When you give your sinful heart to God, God gives you the sinless record of Jesus. Well, now here in verses 4 and 5, Paul makes a contrast between works and faith. He writes, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." In other words, he goes to work, and at the end of the week, he gets a paycheck for it. He's earned it. But verse 5 tells us here that the one who does not work, but believes, that is, in Christ, is given the gift of a right standing, a righteous standing before God. So even Abraham was justified, not because he was godly, but because he simply believed in God. Listen to these hymn lyrics written in 1861. "Not what these hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. I bless the Christ of God. I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine. Well, that's another way of saying, here's how you can become a friend of God, trusting Christ alone. And your friendship, by the way, with God is going to last forever. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
This is the Wisdom Journey. I'm glad you've joined us for this journey through all 66 books of the Bible. Stephen Davey is your tour guide, and he has a new lesson for you each weekday. If you give us a call today, we'd love to tell you about how you can get the next 3 issues of Stephen's magazine. Each month, Stephen sends a magazine as a gift to all of our ministry partners. If you're not receiving that, we'd like to send you a few issues as our gift to you. You'll be blessed by it. Each month, the magazine has a theme. Stephen takes an issue that's practical and relevant to your life and develops a series of articles to help you walk wisely. Here's some of the topics that he's covered in the past. Is hell a real place? Why does evil exist, and why does God allow evil? What do Christians need to know about Islam? What can we know about angels, demons, and the spirit world? How can you find true happiness in this life? To what extent should Christians be involved and engaged in politics? That's just a sample of the many articles you'll find in Heart to Heart magazine. In addition, each month features a daily devotional guide to keep you rooted in God's Word. We've heard from dozens of readers who've told us how much they appreciate these devotions. They're written by Stephen's son, Seth. Give us a call at 866-48-BIBLE for information. That's 866-48-BIBLE. Then join us back here next time to continue along the wisdom journey.